And welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. Joining us on the line for the first time in 2015, Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. Happy belated New Year, Mickey.
Happy New Year to you, Rob.
And
let's hope that our stocks do better in the mining sector this year than they did in 2014.
Well, they can only move in one direction, I would assume, and that is up. There's not much downward movement left, is there, before they hit zero?
Well, they can't hit zero. If they do that, they're bankrupt, but... Yeah, it's been brutal.
It is indeed. Well, for the Mercenary Musings Radio in 2015, Mickey, you wanted to kick it off with an updated look at an area of the market that, boy, oh boy, you've got to go back a long way when we last revisited this area of the market, and that is rare earth elements. I'm thinking at least, what, probably 4 years or so?
Yeah, it's been about 4 years as I was scrolling through all our radio shows since we actually talked a bit about them, but the last dedicated show that I found was 4.5 years ago, so
yeah,
been a while.
Yeah, and at that time, I think, that was an area of the market that you wanted to be in. It was hot. The world has changed since then, Mickey. The bubble has burst on rare earths. What's happened?
Well, let's go into the history of the bubble, and I'm going to pat myself on the back a bit here. I was arguably one of the first, if not the first, analysts to get involved in this sector. I first covered one of the leading Canadian exploration companies in summer of 2007, and that was a private report, so it didn't really make the public venue, but I ended up covering that particular company publicly in September of 2008. I also covered a leading American explorer later that fall. We kicked off a private placement and coverage of another Canadian rare earth explorer in May of 2009. But what really happened that kicked the whole thing off in the public venue was a very well-known newsletter writer known as Mr. Dines, who, if you remember way back when, he was the original gold bug. Well, he labeled himself as the original rare earth bug in May of 2009, and the business took off, and that would be despite efforts by other newsletter writers, including yours truly and John Kaiser. We've been on this for at least 6 months to a year or so at that point, but it took Mr. Dines to kickstart it, and in 2009, about that same time, the Chinese implemented export quotas on rare earths. By mid-2010, there was a World Trade Organization complaint because basically China controlled 90% of the world's supplies and was putting on quotas and taxes and et cetera, and running the prices up. Additionally, in mid-2010, there was a geopolitical event between Japan and China over some islands in the South China Sea. And at that point, China decided to cut off the Japanese from rare earth supplies, and the prices just absolutely went exponential at that point.
Okay, now you mentioned that Chinese decision to impose export restrictions on rare earths. The WTO basically convened a panel, I believe, last year saying the limits were, you shouldn't be doing that. China's backed off now, correct?
Well, yeah, they've backed off their export quotas, but they have other abilities to put taxes on them, et cetera. Fact remains that Chinese still supply 90% of the world's demand for rare earths. In addition, in the history of this bubble, and it is a classical bubble, Molycorp, which operated the Mountain Pass mine for years and had shut down in the 1990s, came public again with an IPO in July of 2010. By September, that stock started to rise, and it went exponential. It went as high as $79 from its IPO, which was somewhere around 11, 12 bucks. Then it went parabolic, and that was driven by rare earth prices. And by May of 2011, all these stocks had started going parabolic, including the four rare earth companies that I eventually put significant amount of money in and covered. And those four in particular were leaders of the juniors, and they are the ones that eventually graduated from the Toronto Venture Exchange to the Toronto Stock Exchange and eventually to the New York Stock Exchange, what is now called the Market Index. But since that time, let's use Molycorpin as an example. It went from $12 to $79, and it closed yesterday at 50 cents.
50 cents, holy cow.
All-time low, so it lost 99% of its value over that period, greater than 99% of its value. This was really driven by the parabolic rise and fall of rare earth element prices.
Right. Now, why did prices fall so sharply? Now, in preparation for this interview, Mickey, you worked your sources in the industry to come up with a pretty accurate reading of the movement in prices. They have just fell off a cliff. What was the reason behind that?
Well, before I go into those reasons, I got to give props to Mark Saxon of Tasman Metals, which is one of the companies I picked, and it is the only company that I remain invested in. So Mark was kind enough to supply me with some charts of prices. But the prices went parabolic to the very light rare earth elements, which would include cerium oxide, lanthanum oxide, went from about $5 a kilogram to somewhere between 150 to 75. And they back down just the same. The so-called magnet metals, and those were the ones that are in demand for rare earth element magnets, which are the strongest magnets on the planet, that would include neodymium, dysprosium, and terbium. Back in the day, they all sold for significant amounts. Neodymium had a 12 times rise. It is now settled to about two times its January 2010 price. So the metals, the magnet metals have retained some price, but dysprosium 15 times its January 2010 price to its peak in early 2011. 15 times now settled in about twice what it started at. Terbium, much the same, 10x rise to about 1.5 times now. So what the world really realized was, I think, that despite the Chinese desires to control that market, there is such a huge black market in China that couldn't keep the rare earths from being smuggled out. Most of that smuggling historically has come through Vietnam, and I would say that's continuing to the present.
Okay, now we have seen the price of rare earths fall off a cliff for the most part. The demand, though, it remains in place, though, right? I mean, you mentioned magnets. The rare earths are used in cameras, cars, iPhones, wind turbines. The list goes on and on and on. There's still a very strong...
Well, yeah, but here's the deal. There have been these forecasts for rampant demand increases, and that has not turned out to be the case. We are not consuming, the world is not consuming, in terms of tonnage, a significant amount of more rare earths than it was 5 or 6 years ago. You know, we see some growth. Demand was very much hit by the global economic crisis. So these in 2008, 2009, so these projections of 10% year-over-year demand have not turned out to be correct.
Okay, and it's not also a case of finding substitutes? I mean, you either, there's no substitute, is there, for rare earth
elements?
Well,
there really is no substitute for a lot of applications for rare earths. You know, it's 17 elements. They have various applications depending on the element. But they are unique on the periodic table, that group of 17 elements called the rare earth metals or the lanthanide series. They don't really have any substitutes for most of these relatively specialized applications, you know. But, you know, we're still, this is not a big market. It's not a million tons a year. It's more like 150,000 tons a year. So the market for these things is not especially large. The stock markets, the equity markets, got caught up in the hype. Luckily, I was one of those people that got in early, and when things start to go exponential, I start taking money off the table. But that said, I sold. You know, I still held on to some of these stocks or pieces of some of these stocks, and I sold one of my core holdings. I sold the last of that in December as a tax loss, and I got into that stock as a penny stock. It went from a penny stock to a all-time high valuation of just less than $9 a share, and I sold it in a tax loss sale for somewhere about 12 cents.
Okay.
And if you look at these four companies that actually made the New York Stock Exchange, they had multi-dollar valuations from $6 to almost $18, and they are all trading as penny stocks on the New York Market Exchange today.
We still need rare earth elements, though. Is the market today oversupplied, and what is your advice to investors out there listening who may be you know, taking a look at some companies out there that are still exploring for rare earth elements, that have properties on rare earth elements? Is this an area of the market that you want to be at this time?
Well, let me preface remarks there by saying, you know, since this has happened, there have been two new mines come on, or two, and that would be Molly Corp's Mountain Pass mine in Southern California and Lynas Corp's Mount Weld mine in Australia. Those are mainly light rare earth element deposits. And at this point, they are both burdened with debt. They have undergone refinancings of their debt, or with basically giving up control of the company, and they are both still on the bubble for bankruptcy. The juniors, there have been no junior successes at all. There are no new heavy rare earth element supplies on the horizon. Even the leading juniors, a couple of those have failed because of metallurgy and infrastructure difficulties. A couple of them, they keep on plugging away, but they will not never develop mines in my lifetime, you know, in the far north of Canada. One of the four has been very much a product of bad management. There are no new mines on the horizon. I still hold one of the companies. It's in a good location. It's got especially good infrastructure, but that particular company still has a very long slog on its metallurgy, and it has now diversified into other specialty metals.
Okay.
We had greater than 200 juniors at one point. Now they're just a handful. They are all, in my mind, pretenders, not contenders, and that would be those I'm speaking of still listed on the Toronto Venture Exchange. In my opinion, those that remain are just basically drinking their own spiked Kool-Aid, and I would say that in the Merry Pranksters sense.
Okay. Well, you and I enjoy the odd spiked Kool-Aid, but certainly, Mickey, you got in early, you got out at the right time. Great snapshot of the rare earth sector of the market, and a warning for investors that it sounds to me like this area of the market in your mind has nowhere to go. Where do you want to go next time that we get together?
Well, I would like to say something about the rare earth sector. It is very illustrative of the way bubbles happen and the way bubbles work. Mm-hmm. And I think where we're going to go next is we're going to talk about some other bubbles that have been promulgated over the market, especially during the bull market of, say, 2009 to 2011. There were a number of these bubbles, and we're going to talk about those, and it will give us some lessons as to the nature of bubbles and how they work and how important it is to get in early and get out before the bubble bursts.
Mm-hmm.
And in that regard, I'm going to be speaking at PDAC in a couple of months on that very subject. The title of my talk is A Bevy of Bubbles Blown Up and Burst. And so what I want to do with the Mercenary Musings radio show over the next three or four shows, we're going to go into these various bubbles. The next one we'll cover in our next show is lithium.
Okay, sounds good, Mickey. And look forward to getting together then at the PDAC here in Toronto. Thanks very much. We'll reconnect in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Look forward to it, Rob. Thanks a lot.
Okay, that is Mickey Fult, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.